Father, we come before you. Again, you great.
Yes, we are.
You are great.
Yes, you are.
Your greatness transcends time. You really make good to us. We thank you so much. There's so many things that we're thankful for. God, we know that whatever we are going through in our lives, you're always working behind the scenes.
Yeah, Lord. Hello.
Things that we don't see that could harm and damage us so often you protect us.
Thank you, God.
We've been blessed in spite of it all. So we come to celebrate tonight. Being the kind of Father that you are, you're always in tune. Your spirit is always in tune with the cries and joys, sorrows, and ups and downs. You've been with us through it all, and that's why we made it through it all. So we thank you again on another Lord's Day that we come together to worship you. And we already know that your spirit is here. For you said, we want to gather in your name, and there's a people that come in your name this morning. Because they doesn't need to be together. We are sitting ourselves together. Because we need one another, and together we need you. We need you desperately. We need you with all of our strength. We need you, God. So as you are with your particular people, as I try to share with some people, God, they didn't really come to hear me. They came to hear you. So I just pray that you could help me to get out of the way. So you can do what you do. Pray, God, if there's anyone here that don't know you as Lord and Savior, whether they're present here or listening on the podcast or watching on the website, whatever way they're present with us and whatever way they're coming to us this morning. I bless them on their families, their person, their lives, and God, just let what's done here be pleasing to you. Thank you for loving all of you, Mr. Son. Amen. 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 All right. I'm going to jump right into this pretty quick. So you should have a copy. Scripture on one side of the outline. This one on the side of the scripture. Let's look at the side of the scriptures on it. I do want to just quickly, because at the end of the series, I may have forgotten. I don't remember as good as I used to. Amen. So, I do want to thank all that came out yesterday. Yesterday, when we were kind of cleaning and getting everything in order for the rest of the year, anticipating God's move for the rest of the year.
Amen.
So, and especially in the movie. Hope to have a good time. Remember, homecoming is next week, and we're going to enjoy it together after our services at the Forum House. Amen. So we can go there and enjoy that. Everybody wants to come to that. Alright, I think we might be ready to get into the way we'll read the. There's the first verse on you. Matthew 5 and 6 is all we're going to read. We're going to read those others throughout the sermon. But that's the key verse for today.
Amen.
Everybody there? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Amen. Amen. Y'all know we have a series called The Kingdom. Kingdom Attitudes. Amen. And today we want to entitle today's message, the right attitude.
All right.
I mean the right appetite. I'm sorry. I don't want to do that. We got the appetite today. The right appetite. I'm going to talk about appetite a lot, so I forgot that. The right appetite. I want to start with that. Now remember, one of the key words I always do this series is the word blessed. Blessed. Now that word has a meaning there. Take a paper. you had it. And, but there's some more layers to why you're happy. You're happy, number one, because you're holy. If you aim for happiness, sometimes, or most of the time, or even I may say most all of the times, it's elusive. It's elusive that the thing that you think is going to make you happy don't really make you happy.
Okay. Okay.
But, listen here, if you aim at holiness, you'll find happiness.
Oh, another
time. Okay. That's what you do. Yeah. Aim for holiness. Aim for being like God, like Christ, or having Christian character, for a well-rounded holiness in every aspect of your life. I want to please Him. And in your aim for Him, you will find happiness, joys, and happiness. Now, there's a blank out there. There's a blank out there because I'm still kind of talking about that happy. Another thing, another reason for that happiness in that blank is the games. Games, maybe some of you play these games in elementary school or preschool, where somebody in the room, somebody in the class has something. And you got to find it. So as you go around looking for who has it, they will tell you if you're cold. You're going the wrong way, it's cold.
Okay.
Then you start going back around and say warm, warm.
Right, right.
And you make a wrong thing, it's cold or cool. And then you go back. Finally, as you get closer to that person, they say hot.
Yeah.
Once you get closer to, amen, where your aim is, where the thing that you're trying to find is,
where
that special thing is.
Yeah.
So, the word blessed means not only are you holy, but you're hot.
Okay.
That's what the word put that in there. You're hot. God says that thing that makes your life what it should be when I created you. Amen. When you have this attitude, when you're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, when you have any of those attitudes that are listed in the Beatitudes, He said, you're on the right road, you're getting closer and closer, you're hot.
Okay.
And you know when that child says how you know they get closer, they get happy.
Yeah, right.
So even though as believers, it doesn't mean our journey will always be easy and without struggle, without problems, without trials. But we can even be happy within the trials, the troubles, the obstacles, the opposition, and everything we face because we're hot.
Right.
I'm on the right road. It's going to be kind of rough getting there, but I know I'm on the right road with God instead of on the right road.
Yeah, yeah.
And lastly, not only the holiness was involved in the word happiness. Happy, you're happy because you're holy. You're happy because you're high. But also you're happy because the people that were listening to this message lived in an unashamed culture. If you look back in chapter 4 of Matthew, a lot of them were sick. A lot of them were demon-possessed. They had spiritual problems. These were the people that were looked down on. They carried with them shame.
Yeah, right.
In a shame on society, maybe they didn't come from the right family. Because it's important to come from, you want to be honest in this kind of society, to come from the right family. To be connected to the right people.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That's where you got your honor from. But these people were marginalized. These people were not thought very much of. So they were expected to live ashamed of who they were. But Christ said, listen here, if these attitudes, even you that are looked down upon, you that are marginalized, when you have these attitudes, you'll be honored in the kingdom.
Because
the kingdom don't honor the people that the world honors.
Right, right. That's true. That's true. Thank you, Lord.
The kingdom of God is an upside down kingdom.
Right.
And the things that are honored in the world are not honored in God's kingdom.
Right, sir.
They would have honored, Alexander the Great. In their king, he was honored in Greece and in Rome because he was such a warrior, but he would not have been honored in God's kingdom. Because this is a man, even he conquered so much, but the friend that had helped him conquer it, the friend that had been there to save his life during this, one day Alexander the Great got drunk and killed his friend. And from then on, he wasn't as great. So our world is kind of upside down. When you believe in God's kingdom, he understands that the world will not. So that's what we come up with. So he said, blessed, okay, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after
my God.
They shall be satisfied. Now, I'm glad he didn't say, blessed are those that are righteous.
Right. Come on,
Adam. Right.
Amen.
Because if he said, blessed are those that are righteous, we'd all be disqualified.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah. Romans 3:10 said, there's none righteous.
Yes.
No, not
one. Amen. No, not one. Amen.
That's a good word for self-righteous. There's none righteous. No, not one. Well, he said, if you got this attitude, where you're hungering and thirsting for righteousness, you shall be satisfied. And they knew it in this culture because it wasn't like our first. It wasn't like the culture that most of us experience. Most of us, when we get thirsty, there's water somewhere nearby. In the refrigerator, some of you have a water fountain in the house, a little cooler. So we never thirst like talking about here. Most of us may have had, but majority of us, I said in here, in our neighborhood, we have never been hungry, not the hunger that it's talking about. And this is talking about being real hungry. So they experienced that in their culture. They had to go a long way, long distances for water to bring it back home. And then, especially the ones you were talking to who were outcast and marginalized people, they didn't have the same opportunities as others.
Right.
This is what he's talking about. Now, I'll call this the anatomy, I think, of an appetite. What I'm really trying to say is this. How do you develop an appetite?
Okay.
How is an appetite developed? And I want to say, your diet develops your appetite. Diet cultivates your appetite.
Right. Okay.
Let me see if I can kind of prove it to you. All right. Show it to you somehow. What you come up in.
It's true. Come on now, right? That's real.
What you eat in your house.
Right.
Develop what you have an appetite for.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
not, we develop appetites. Listen. When you're exposed to something, something in your environment, you develop an appetite for it.
Sure.
That's a word for parents. That's a word for parents.
That's real.
You want to make sure you provide it, an environment. And watch what your children or child is exposed to.
Yeah.
Because they're going to create an appetite.
You're right.
I'm talking about what I know. I'm not talking about what I think about.
Right.
Because of the environment I came in and the things I was exposed to in my formative years.
Yeah.
Amen. Develop some bad appetites.
Sure,
some bad habits.
Amen.
That sometimes, even now, I have to struggle with. Because what happens when you come to bed? Even though you kind of overcome it a little bit and you try to, you live in victory, but all of a sudden, it's like when you're on a diet and you like barbecue, you pass by a barbecue place.
Come on.
Something triggers that appetite that was developed that by the thing that you were exposed to. Or your environment back in the day.
Yeah.
So now, amen. That's why if that happens, especially with people addiction, when the trigger happens, you have to have an action plan for the trigger.
Amen.
I can't go too much of what you need, because it's going to happen. It's something is going to trigger me. The question is, do you have an action plan when the trigger comes?
That's real.
It's coming, preacher. It's coming.
Amen.
But let me get to the scripture. Let's go quickly here. Now, I went to Psalms 1. Psalms 1, most of you know Psalms 1. Let me make sure. And on the back of the sheet, it says, Psalms 1 and 1 should be in read, I think it is. Verse 1 says, how blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful.
Yeah.
Three things that he said. This man is going to be blessed, but now he said he's blessed because he wants to die. Don't miss it. He's blessed because there are some things he doesn't include or she doesn't include in her diet.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see what it is. First, it says, does not walk in the counsel of the wicked.
Yeah.
One thing that should be excluded from your diet is bad advice. Advice to people that don't know God, don't want to walk with God, walking opposite of the way God would walk. Bad advice is the first thing. Secondly, not standing in the path of sinners. Bad advice, now he's talking about who you hang with. Bad advice, bad associations. Bad advice, bad associations.
Yeah.
In the seat of the scoffers. Brother Bible, that means you leave one room, you open the door and go into another room.
Right.
That's why there's such a great word in the Bible.
Amen.
He said, hey, I'm in a room, and this room ain't the right room for me, but I got to go out of this room and go into a better place.
Right.
He got some attitude like day and night. What you doing? I'm just
what the priest told us. I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to. I see the thing, but I'm still somewhere. But still, what I don't understand. I got to ask him again next week. But I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm turning it over. In my mind, he got an appetite. See, now, listen. Once you get your bite, your first bite, and then you get that appetite, then comes the fight. That's what belongs to that day. Then comes the fight. I'm fighting for an understanding. The fight is a passion. The fight means going after something hard.
Yeah.
The fight means trying to put it in the side. The fight means you have a hunger for it, a thirst for it. Now, you really want that thing. So, you're willing to go through all kinds of things to get that thing to have an appetite for it. All right. It's like an athlete who has an appetite for victory.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
They practice hard. They sacrifice in their diet so they can be in the best condition. Amen. Amen. If it's driven up, or if it's catching a football, or if it's playing ball, the ball stroke, they're working over and over again because they got an appetite to be the best that they can in that thing.
Right.
And just like that, amen, when you have the right appetite, when you have an appetite to know God better and to please Him and to walk in His way, you go to extraordinary extremes to know how to please Him. Because you just get hungry. Because when you're hungry enough, when you're thirsty enough,
do what you got to do.
Amen. You will work hard to get to that place.
Yeah. Amen.
So it gives you a whole new work in it.
Yeah. Amen.
Person grew up in an environment sometimes that was a little easy going, and they say with the same spoon, they may not have the same work ethic.
Yeah, it's true.
But when you talk about the world,
mentality is,
it's a whole different thing. Mm-hmm. If you've been given the right, if you came from a family character, amen. So that's the importance. If you came up out of a home, a family, an area that really values education.
Amen.
And you get an appetite for education. No, you don't even really have to consider college because there's so much of the fabric of your family. It's not an option. Success is an option, all things. And now don't get so tired of that you forget God.
Right.
I'm saying how that environment and exposure creates an appetite. And then an appetite puts you in a fight, but you fight for it. You fight for it. Amen. It's like that. If you're hungry, right now, at the fast food place, the line's kind of long. If I'm not hungry, I'm not going to get in that line. But if sometime I'm hungry enough,
I'm going
to stand
there.
And I see about 15, 20 calls, well,
and that's what I want? Yeah.
That's real. I'm going to sit it out. You see what I'm saying? Cost you after your appearance. So I'm saying we as believers. Now, y'all remember? How many? We have a Cowboy fan in here.
Amen.
Y'all a few Cowboy fans. Y'all a few Cowboy fans.
Amen.
Y'all remember Elliot? He get you wrong. Make a first down, touchdown, and then you get that.
Yeah.
Because, hey, I'm doing good, but I want to win, so I want y'all to keep feeding me.
Yeah.
I'm saying, my brothers and sisters, all of you, the same thing for children of God.
Yeah.
When it comes, amen, to wanting to live righteous, to wanting
that'll keep me and check on me. Mm-hmm. Make sure I'm walking the right path.
Yeah.
Amen. When I'm walking by that place where the trigger goes off, I can call a person that I'm accountable to.
Yeah.
And they say, no, no, no. You remember, wait a minute. You remember
you've been down
last
there.
Year.
Yeah.
You remember when you went down that road last year where you ended up. Sometimes people got to ask. You can't have a corn on one side. They both sides.
Righteousness is when you love God with everything, heart, soul, and mind. But then justice is when you love your neighbor as yourself. Righteousness is kind of an individual thing, but justice is a community thing.
Okay.
A lot of times, folks who claim to be righteous, but they give up, you really know it's not true righteousness, because they don't have justice in their righteousness. How can you say you love God who you have not seen? When you don't love your brother who you have seen.
Right. Amen. Amen.
It's a two-way love. So how can I say that I'm part of the church? I'm part of the disciples of Christ. I'm part of his followers. And then I'm not concerned about the systemic system that hold my brothers and sisters down of another skin color or another gender because they're different. So righteousness said I gotta be just too.
Right.
And all those words they said, you see persons where you see righteousness and justice because they're two sides of the same coin. We righteous. We have to also fight for justice.
Amen.
The fight starts with powerful prayer. Then it goes to peaceful protest.
Okay.
And then it goes to the president polls.
Amen. Yeah.
And we have to bring be brought up with it because it starts as an individual. First, I need to be a just individual. Then, amen, in your family, I need a just family as an environment for my child. A child that's just righteousness and justice as a family. And then I need to bring that, we need to have just churches that are concerned about justice.
Amen.
And then we go and pray and protest and go to the polls. And whatever else we need to do to change it, you can't say you're righteous if you don't are not just. You got to be about justice just as you are about righteousness. If righteousness is the homer, then justice is the nurse.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
You know, because sometimes the word righteous was used in literature, especially of Jesus, is the same word. Mm-hmm. The only way you can know they're talking about justice or righteousness is the context. If it's in the context of a single person, then they're talking about righteousness. If it's in the context of a community or a group, then it's justice. So context determines whether it's righteousness or justice. Listen. Are those they got the right appetite. Mm-hmm. They really, deep down, there's something in
them.
Something in their core. They say, I want to be like him, Christ.
Yes.
I want to be better than him.
Right.
I want to live a holy life.
Yes.
I want to live righteously.
Yes.
I want to live justly.
Yes.
And I want to spread it all over the world. But people can see how glorious my God is.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Then on the last chapter, I talk about. But it says, if you hope to do it, I'm going to satisfy.
Yeah.
The first way he satisfies us is when he died on a cross to pay the price for our sins. Good Friday passed not too long ago. In the last days of Christ on Good Friday, one of them is it is finished.
Right.
And it is finished comes the Greek word tetelestai means paid in full.
Yeah.
If you lived in Rome at Jesus' time and you bought maybe an oil lamp from one of the merchants and then gave you a receipt and stamped it with tetelestai on it, it means, hey, for this lamp is paid in full. You don't owe anything ever. It's already been paid.
My God.
Our sins have already been paid for.
Yes.
On Calvary's cross.
Yes.
Oh, not in my bag.
some that don't take a bad advice.
Right.
Don't have a bad association.
Right.
Don't have a bad attitude.
Right.
But his delight in the law of the Lord. Yeah. And the law of the Lord meditate on. This goes on there. Kill me like a tree.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on. Man, I'm out of the river of water.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. The river of water, water is represented of the Spirit. Kill me like a tree. I went to college, and I went to the campus ministry,
And first coming, ministry. I began to understand some other things.
Come on now.
Because Temple's ministry took the scriptures.
Right.
And showed me some things that I had never got out of worship for the jubilation.
Right.
You know how life can be this.
Yeah.
Took me to the scriptures. Told me how to walk in the spirit and we'll fulfill the lust of the flesh. What all those basic things that a Christian needs to do. All I had was worship for jubilation. Mm-hmm. But what I really needed was spiritual formation.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I needed somebody to teach me.
Yeah.
I can apply the things of the Bible to my everyday life.
Everyday life.
So I learned a lot, and I was so moved that my life radically changed. And I said, yeah, it's good. And I'm going to still go back to church. And I'm going to still be there when the runway comes up. I'm going to be way out of the runway door. But even before the runway will come up, I'm going to be listening, trying to find something that I can live my life better.
Yeah.
God, why can I be a better person as a single person? Amen. As a leader, how can I be a better young man? How can I treat people better?
Right.
Amen. I have stuff I want to learn. How can I handle my finances better? But this in the Bible.
Call us. Give us about 10 minutes to call us up. 254-562. 2-5-4-5-6-2-6-7-7-7. We'll try to answer that phone and help you as best we can.
Amen. Amen.
And just thank you for you. No way want to join in. Worship is not a spectator sport.
Right.
Holy is, holy.
Thank you.